Hello, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. It is the 26th of June, 2026. Is that 26626? I don't know if that means anything in dates. It's twos and sixes. Two sixes are 12, and 12 is 1 and 2. 12 is 1 and 2, isn't it? Which makes 3, and 2 threes are a 6. So it's all 2s and 6s. It's funny, isn't it? The world of numbers. Some people swear by those numbers. I'm not really sure whether it's just happenstance that they work the way they do. The sun is shining, and it's morning. I think it's just after 6, funny enough. I'm having a cup of coffee, and we've had some sweltering weather, have we not? We certainly have, certainly here in the south coast. I watch a chap who on a pipe smoking channel, lovely bloke called Alistair, who's in Ireland, and was saying, oh, it's hot, it's 26 degrees, 26, so it's twos and sixes again. And he was saying it was hot, and I thought, well, that's not hot, mate, as a number of people would have thought. But over where he is, apparently, that is considered reasonably hot, which I find very strange, for he's not that far from us off the meridian lines, if that's what they're known as. I'm just strolling around. I'm trying to hold my cup of coffee at the same time as I am strolling up and down, looking at yesterday's cutting of the grass, which was done at Biggleswick Farm with the tractor and the topper, finally. I've had a few issues getting it together. It's quite a frightening thing, going up and down with this topper on the back of the tractor, going up a rise. Where we are, it's not all flat, you see. Might look flat in the videos, but it's not all flat. Just looking at my legs, I've been bitten quite a bit with my bare legs exposed, trying to get the grass short because of the ticks that are around. Seems to be a lot of ticks. Anyway, I wanted to talk today, because apparently people have been asking about my thoughts on land ownership. And these are a culmination of my thoughts and also other thoughts, information that's been passed on that I agree with. There's a chap called Clive Edwards who has sort of been looking into this and putting forward evidence for land ownership. Excuse me. And that's better. I got a lot of, when I was strimming as well yesterday, I got a lot of dust in my throat, which I think is slowly working its way out. Anyway, so I wanted to talk a little bit about this. Mainly, I guess, of course, you know, the people who are asking these questions are probably people on YouTube in the comment section, and it's often the Naked Englishman podcast, as I have explained many times, is a sort of first rendering of ideas, or trying to put an idea into a verbal form that has some sense to it, and hence what this is about. So, you know, don't necessarily take this as, I was going to say verbatim, but I don't mean it like that. It might be meandering to get to the point. That's what I'm trying to say. But I think this does make sense, and I think it's what I believe to be true. People will, of course, have different opinions, and that's fine. We're all seeing things different, but there is logic to this concept of what we are talking about in terms of land ownership. Who owns the land is the big question. Well, nobody owns it, is the simple answer. Nobody owns it. And I guess there are variations of what do you mean by own. We consider that we own something because we make a payment for something. That's one concept of what ownership means, and it's one that's an everyday concept, isn't it? So we think that we own something because we've paid for it. The other concept for ownership, I suppose a deeper, more fundamental one, and these are fundamental questions, fundamental answers, fundamental thoughts that I'm exploring here, is simply that if you make something yourself, you thoroughly own it because you have made it from scratch. If you dig up a bit of clay and you fashion it into a pot, you could then claim that that pot is yours. And that's because you've made it. You haven't purchased it from anybody else. You have made it. However, you could then argue, where did you get the clay from, and did you make the clay that you've made the pot? And this is where I suppose we get into shaky ground, because nobody has actually made the clay. Now, there may be factories that refine clay, that they get raw material and clean it up and then say, well, it's now, I'm going to call it clay, and it has the qualities of clay, and for all intents and purposes it is clay, but the raw materials that they started with... Can you hear that ticking? That's a bird. I forget which bird it is. We did look it up. Julia probably remembers. A very loud clicking sound. I can see it. It's just flown from one tree to another. Amazing. Anyway, so yes, I mustn't lose myself because we're already 8 minutes in. So raw materials, that's what we're saying, the raw materials. Who owns the raw materials? Where do they come from? Well, they come from the earth. And who made the earth? And that is the fundamental, really, the concept of land ownership. When you buy a piece of land or a house, or even a car these days, it would seem, but particularly land or houses, let's just deal with those, because a house sits on land, doesn't, you can't, unless it's a caravan or something, it doesn't move about. It sits on a plot of land, a piece of land. It sits, let's just be clear, even more clear and fundamental, it sits, a house or an area of land is on the earth. Now, let's not worry too much whether the earth is a planet or a flat plane. Let's not, because we don't know. I mean, it, you know, people are trying to prove one way or the other. But what we do know is that we are on a surface that some people claim is round, some people claim is completely flat. And we have, for a long, long time, called this surface the Earth. So let's just go with that, because that's a sort of fundamental name that has been accepted. People may give it all sorts of other different names, but let's go with that, the Earth. Okay, so land you see, these are difficult to differentiate sometimes, because land is, I suppose, the top layer of what we call the Earth. Whatever our feeling is, what the Earth is. A house sits on land, and the land is the surface of the Earth. When you buy a piece of land from whomever, the whomever is selling something that isn't the land. Because in this day and age, when you buy land, you're not buying land at all. You're buying a title. You get a title deed. I think what that means is you're entitled to have it for a period of your life. And after your life is over, unless you sell it before, it is passed on to whomever is in your will or the next of kin. And it is only a title. It isn't the land. This is the key thing, that when you buy land, you're not buying land. And the reason you're not buying land is the whomever who purportedly owned it before did not own the land either. They also had purchased a piece of paper. In the old days, it used to be a piece of paper. It may have been a piece of old paper, parchment and what have you. These days it's kept on it's a record on a computer. I mean, that's all it really is. It's a piece of paper with words on it. And that's what you're buying. That's what you're spending a quarter of your life trying to pay back on a mortgage, if you are using a mortgage, to purchase that land. Is you're paying for nothing. You're paying effectively for nothing, because nobody owns the land. Now, the Crown will say they own the land, but they don't own the land, no more than you own the land, and they can't prove they own the land. The Crown. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to 1066, for example. William the Conqueror comes over, claims kingdom for himself. Now, of course, there were other kings prior to that. Harold, Alfred, you know, all lots of different kings. And they're all claiming this land is theirs. William the Conqueror, of course, gets rid of the Saxons and claims it for himself. If we go back further, Julius Caesar comes over, tries to, fails, and he tries to, you know, grab the land, and so it's part of Gaul, which was France and Spain, I suppose, or certainly France. But anyway, the Romans, then which one is it? I forget the emperor. It's on the tip of my tongue. Is it Claude? Claudius? Anyway, the point is the Romans come over and decide that they will have it and have administration over it. And so on. So, go back before that, ancient Britons, Neolithics, they divided areas of the land and had their communities. Now, those people in the hill forts, in the valleys, down by the streams, they didn't buy it from a government because the land was just there. How it got there, we don't really know, do we? The Big Bang Theory. There is, of course, the Bible, and we'll come to that in a minute, with God created in 7 days. And we'll come to that in a second. But the land was just there. So my point really is, nobody created it that we can point to, as in a human. And the various kings have claimed to own the land, and all they've done is taken it. They've taken it by bully boy tactics. They have decided that this area, and they draw a map, and they say, this is the area I own. And they draw it on a map. And it's interesting that, because in parishes, in more modern times, not recently, but go back 100 years or so, Victorian times, there was the beating of the bounds. People actually walked round the boundaries and would beat drums and things and chuck children over prominent hedges or stand them on big stones and stuff, or do something. Now, the reason they did that with the children is so that those children would never forget, oh, that's where I got thrown over the wall. And that's because that was part of the beating of the bounds, to remind the children never to forget that that's where the boundary is. You won't forget it because it's an oral history, really. Anyway, that's just a by the by. But it is people basically saying, on a map, this is mine, a king, a kingdom, this is my domain. They didn't buy it, they don't own it, they took it and claimed it. It doesn't mean it's theirs, even though they've claimed it, it doesn't mean it's theirs. In more modern times, we have this sort of agreement that in order to buy a piece of land, you buy it from somebody and then you have to register it with land registry, which is part of the government's rubbish. And it's supposed to be a register just so that everybody knows who's got what bit, which parcel of land is attached to which particular legal entity. And now we come to the grimy subject of the ens legis, the dead entity, the legal name. A name that has been registered on a in a ledger, and when a child is born and they are given a piece of paper that says it is a certified copy of an entry in that register, commonly referred to as a birth certificate, a certificate of birth, as if you need to have a certificate to say you were born. Your very existence says that you were born. A certificate is the wrong word for it. For if you've won the egg and spoon race and somebody wasn't there to see it, you can have a piece of paper with the name of the school on it or wherever it took place and said, so-and-so, so-and-so, won the egg and spoon race, and I certify that that is true. Hence the certificate. It is certifying it is true. The fact that you present yourself in front of anybody else obviously means you do not need a birth certificate, because it is apparent. We do not suddenly pop onto this earth like you spawn in a computer game. So the notion of a birth certificate is a completely stupid idea. It isn't a birth certificate. It is a name that has been registered in a ledger. It is in a ledger that somebody has a list of people who have been born. That is all it is, and that, of course, it doesn't prove anything that somebody else wrote the name of a baby in a ledger, or entered it on a computer in this day and age, for that is hearsay. And of course, like it says on the so-called birth certificate, warning, you cannot use this as evidence of proof of identity, because it is hearsay. It is somebody else doing the writing. The only person, sorry, person's a legal term, the only individual, the only man or woman who can say who they are is that man or woman. But I won't go into that any further. But that's an interesting thought, isn't it? People think of the birth certificate as proof that they're born, but the fact that they are there is the fact there's proof that you were born. All you're proving is that, again, it's hearsay that you were born on a certain day as a certain sex by certain parents. But as you were too young to be able to acknowledge any of this, it is a witness statement, is all it is. It is a witness statement. It's not a certificate. Although I suppose they're saying, I certify it, that, well, are they? It's the mum and dad have to sign, presumably, somewhere. I can't remember now with my children. Certify that they were born on this day at this time. But it is self-evident that they were born. Anyway, let's move on. So, land, you buy land, apparently, and you register it again in another ledger so the government knows who owns what. That in and of itself is a sensible idea, just to keep law and order, and so there's no argy-bargy about saying, well, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. It doesn't mean that you own it, it just means that you're, I don't want to use the word occupying it, that you're custodian of it. That there's an agreement, effectively, really, what's going on is this boundary on a map, which represents land, is the custodian is so-and-so. But let's just look at that a little bit deeper. You buy the land from someone and you give them the money. It's registered on land registry, but it is only the title that you get. Again, it's a piece of paper that says you have the rights to this bit of land. It isn't the land itself, because the land itself, as we said earlier, is not owned by anybody. So therefore, you never own the land. You can't. You have the right to be there, but who's giving you that right? Well, the government are claiming that they are giving you that right, but it isn't theirs to give you the right. They're just selling you a piece of paper on a ledger. And this is where it gets murky, because they're not even selling it to you. And this is why it's so important to know who you are, hence this business about the name that I've spoken about many times. For you are not a name on a piece of paper, because you can't be. You are a soul or a consciousness or something indefinable that has awareness that for your lifetime on this earth resides, if resides is it's a legal term, resides, that lives, let's say, a better way of saying it, lives in a body. And this soul and this body make you, for the duration, a man or woman. Not a name. You have an attachment, or you have a desire to be recognized from all the others that are similar to you, souls in bodies, and so you will answer to a name. The name that's registered on the land, on the birth certificate business, is a dead entity. It isn't you. Can't possibly be you, because it has joinder with the first name and the second name, and it's in capital letters and all this business. And it was produced before you were able to even understand that you were alive. Within, 40 days of being born, this entity has to be registered. And this so-called legal name, you accept as you, but it isn't you. So what is buying the land, getting caught up in this web of trying to explain these things, and I want to finish this on time if I can. Who is buying the land? Well, nobody's buying the land because it isn't for sale. And there's more to this, and I'm not going to get this done in time. I can see that. Land registry are selling a title to a fictitious person, the legal fiction. It's not you. Therefore, they're not selling you the land. They're selling you a bit of paper. That's not you. They can't sell you the land. All they're selling you is really a gentleman's agreement that this bit, this area that's marked on a map is for you to do, within their system, agreements, certain things under UK law. And that's all very well. Except that you're not really under UK law, unless you accept to be the legal fiction name, and once you're accepting of that name, you are under their laws. And therefore you are restricted in what you can do with that land. But bear this in mind before I finish. There's another half about this that I have yet got into. Is the title deed has to it, attached to it, this map I keep talking about. But you don't live, or you don't, the land isn't really on a map. The land itself is not on the map. The title deed is saying that this map, this bit of paper with a line on it, which represents a view of the world, or the view of the land that you think you're on, it represents it, but it isn't it. It represents it. It isn't it. It isn't the same as. It cannot be the same as, because anything that is the same means it is absolutely the very thing, because it's the same thing. The difference between same and similar is very important. Some people go, well, it means the same thing. That you can't mean the same thing. it can mean a similar thing, but it can't mean the same, because the same is a unique, it's like black or white. It cannot, if something's black, it cannot be anything else other than black. And now I'm at 30 minutes in and I didn't really want to go too much longer. But, so the land registry is selling you for money, which is not money, it's selling you for a credit, for the money is backed by nothing. It is merely faith, you know, these bits of paper I promised to pay the bearer of, or a credit in a bank. It is credit. It isn't money. You're not buying it with gold. You're not buying it with something that has intrinsic value. You're buying it with something that is not even backed by anything, that has no value whatsoever. I mean, the whole thing is a complete scam. And they are selling you this land, so-called land, but they're not. They're selling you a title deed for what they call, for currency, for credit, which doesn't exist. It's a concept. So you're buying a concept of land, you're buying a concept of land, and you're buying it with a concept of money, which doesn't exist. The land itself is represented on a map, so you're just buying, you're buying an entry in a ledger. You're not buying the land, because the Crown cannot sell you the land because they did not make it. And the argument, which I'll get into in a different day, the argument then that you have to obey all the rules that come with it is spurious, because they do not own the land, but the legal name, if you accept that and agree to be that, that is on the birth certificate, which says, warning, you cannot use this as proof of identity. If you accept that that is you, which it isn't you, but you can be it if you wish, because they've given you the chance to be it, then you have to obey the UK legislation, which says you have to have permission to do this and grants to do, licenses to do that. You have to have permission. You have to ask. You have to beg. You have to go through that. Because they're talking about something that doesn't exist and powers that don't really exist. The land and the earth are real. You are real. But very often, and we've been brainwashed to think that we are something else, a non-real thing, a name, and we're buying a piece of non-real estate because it's just an idea that's drawn up on a map, which still makes it an idea, doesn't make it any realer just because there's lines on a bit of paper. And there are two ways of viewing so-called ownership. One is that you don't own it, but you can be there as a custodian because it is your right, because you were placed on this earth by whatever power it is. Some people call it God. And the land was just there and nobody owns it, so nobody can tell you what to do with it. Or you play the game and join the system that says, these are the restrictions, mate, because you are a legal name. I'll talk more about this on another occasion, because there's more to it, because there is a, I think, a logical argument how you then say to the people like the local planning people or authority why their rules do not concern you. Thank you for listening.